Well.
I'm sitting here in a historical ancient hall house in the middle of East Meon, beside the River Meon. It's called Riverside, and is a home of Leal and Lorna Wyatt, who have been here for many, many years. Leal, when did you first come to East Meon?
When I was, I think, as far as I can remember, when I was 7. We'd moved an awful long way to get here, a total of 3 miles West Meon.
Yes, from West Meon.
Where my father was a butcher in West Meon at the time, and Morley Horder, who owned not only the courthouse, but I believe I'm correct in saying he possibly owned every thatched property at that time in East Meon.
Yes.
And the previous butcher that was here had either retired or left, I'm not sure which, but Morley Horder, being a very keen on East Meon, wanted a butcher's in the village.
Yes, yes.
And he went and saw my father, and more or less, well, I don't know that he actually pleaded with him, but he managed to talk him to come to East Meon.
Because your father's shop was on the road between East Meon and West Meon, but going into West Meon on the right. Is that right? Just before the viaduct.
Yeah.
Is that right? Can you
before the...
The viaduct.
Yes, right, yeah.
Just before the viaduct. Because I happened to come to the village, I think, at about the same time as you did, 1939.
Yeah.
And I had connections, of course, with West Meon as well as East Meon. Anyhow, having arrived here in this house, which is a thatched house, attached to it is a sort of separate building. So what is that, Leo?
A separate
building.
Building. That was then a slaughterhouse and 2 stables blocks, and behind the stable block was a very small piggery.
Yeah.
In my own, if this is applicable, but you can scrub it out if it's not, was that the design of those buildings were actually ideal for what they were, whoever put them or used them before my father came here in that light, it was, to me at any rate, they were, no one could have designed them better.
Mm-hmm.
Where the small gate is just east of the where the letterbox is, was a gate there where the animals were driven in, and in a small barn this end of it, and then there was another leading door into the slaughterhouse itself for when they were ready to be slaughtered. There's another door this side of that, a small yard there, which is the door directly into the shop. And at the back, which is no more garden than anything else, was a small paddock where, if they were bought on the hoof, as it used to be said, which in those days they mainly were,
driven down the road.
They could be turned out there until such time as they were wanted to be slaughtered.
Mm.
Because one of the differences, I believe, now in present day butchery to the butchery in those days, in my father's day, they were butchers complete, from seeing it on the hoof, turned out in a field or wherever, depending on the animal, and he had a reputation for being a very good judge of what the meat would be turn out like when it was on the table being
served. So he knew, he saw his, his meat before.
Today, I think they're more cutters than they are butchers.
Yeah, I understand.
And I own up to being a little prejudiced on that score.
How long did Father have the shop here?
Did? Sorry.
How long did your father have the shop here?
Oh, he was... my mother and father had me quite late in life. Or late in my father's life. And well, we were here, say, from 19, I'll say I was seven, so that would be 1938, just prior to the Second World War.
Mm-hmm.
And we were, he was alive until early in the year that we got married, which was 1957.
If you say so.
Well, I can remember buying meat from him off the the window, the great big thing which came down on two chains. Am I right? Yeah. And I remember buying meat from him. So well,
we in Westmere, we lived until I started school at Westmere. We lived at Horsetown.
Did you?
Belonged to Jenny Staunton. Well, there were a pair of cottages up there.
Jenny Lynch Staunton.
Lynch, that's right, yeah.
Who was the goat lady?
I always forget the Lynch, but there were two cottages there. One belonged to her, and the other one belonged to the Forestry Commission.
I thought one was Westbury, but well, that must have been much later.
I think it was
Tom Whiter.
It was after she died, I think.
Yeah.
Westbury took the one over, and now, of course, it's Tirrettrace, or was Tirrettrace.
That's right, turned into a posh resident now.
Yes. And,
anyhow.
And that's when it was turned, just prior to that, it was turned into one cottage, because the person that was on the forestry, he lived there on his own. And. My father had some of the ground that went with the cottage that we were living in.
Right on the top there, yes.
And he had one Guernsey cow up there, plus whatever horses he was either dealing in or driving at that time.
Right. Right. Now tell me, you were at school at Westmere, did you say, all your time? Never here at East Mian on the top of, on the side of the hill there?
When we moved here, I went to school at, up here.
You did go there?
Yeah.
Right.
That was when I was about 11.
Yes.
And how it came about there was that at Rowland's Castle and at Hawkley, they were two locations where school from Battersea, known as Battersea Central School, which I think there was a branch in Petersfield of girls, for girls, but these two were boys. And I think they went to Hawkley first, because the headmaster of Battersea was resident at Hawkley, and we had at Rowland's Castle, it was his deputy that became head there.
Yeah.
And they found, I think, the reason for coming round the villages was to make the numbers up at Rowland's Castle, because they didn't really have sufficient to warrant the number of staff that came there with them.
Now, you went to the school on the side of the hill, and I can't remember its name at the moment. What's it called?
Windwhistle.
Windwhistle, that's right, Windwhistle. Did you go on from there into a school in Petersfield, or...?
No, I went to Rowland's Castle.
You went to Rowland's Castle. And
the reason we went to Rowland's Castle, I mean, this is to me quite relevant, but may not be to anyone else. I, like a number of, well, shall I say, better off boys in the village, sat an examination to go to Church's College.
Yes.
When I went for mine, I was given some paper, pieces of paper with printing on it. And I looked at this, and although I was only, well, about 11 then, there was barely a word on it that I understood or what it meant.
Nice.
The reason for that was that this school up here, Church of England School, but managed by the vicar at the time, and it had three teachers, female teachers.
Yes.
The head was Mrs. Hoyes, who I think lived somewhere near Basingstoke and travelled each day to here. The other one was Mrs. Hasty, who used to lodge with the Lamberts that were across the road.
Yes.
One of the farmers that farmed at Spyglass.
Yes.
And the other one was a Miss Miles, who eventually, or not long after, married the farmer that had Church Farm opposite, up the road here.
Yes.
Yes,
I know you, where Chris Moore is.
Miles, yeah. I think he's called.
Yeah, Miles, right, okay. So, from the school at Rowland's Castle, how did your connection become with Barnsley workshops? Now, Barnsley must have played a very important part in your life.
We had a few differences. Nothing that serious, but Barnsley was, I think I probably understood him as much as any youngster going there as an apprentice, because he was of the same, almost the same generation as my father.
Yes.
Who assumed, or at least practiced, not necessarily young children should be seen but not heard.
Yes.
But also, yes meant yes and no meant no.
Full stop.
Full stop, basically, yeah. And the other thing with my relationship with Barnsley was that the previous apprentice than myself, because every apprentice that went there went on a month's trial.
Yes.
For two reasons. One, to see if the apprentice wanted to work there, and the second reason, if Barnsley wanted him to work there.
Yeah.
See? And I did want to, but the third week of my month, on the Monday, the other apprentice before me, name of Roy, he'd been there 2 years, because at that time, Barnsley reckoned to take another apprentice on every 2 years. And
how many did he have in the workshop?
Altogether, there were, well, at most three apprentices, wise three, because of my final year, fifth year, I was coming out of apprenticeship,
yes.
When the third one was just starting.
Coming,
yeah. And the problem, this Roy, turned out one Monday, this Monday, the third week, my third week of starting, and asked one of the craftsmen there, would he give him a handout with his toolbox? It's one of the things that we did, or apprentices were expected to do, was, and the, had the materials provided for them, was to make their own toolbox.
Yes.
When they advanced that far. And he asked him to give him out, and he thought, which was something that hardly ever happened, certainly not on your own as an apprentice, that he had a job off-site or on a different site. He said, no. When this apprentice, this craftsman, asked where he was going, he just quite casually, in a way, said, I've left.
Yes.
And he'd got a job at the Petersfield Timber Company at that time.
Yes, yes, yes.
So off he went. Well, then that, in a way, did me a little bit of a favour, because it meant if I decided on the next week that I didn't want to stay there, they were didn't have anyone to, as a starting apprentice, mm-hmm. to sweep the floor and make the tea.
You see? And so you did all that part of it.
So in a way, I saw that as a asset, really.
Yes.
That they had these pupils there. The younger one, the older ones, were, could be from any walk of life. And
right. So
others were younger ones.
Yeah.
Generally, with from people with money. I mean, one of them there that was had his own racing car provided by his father, who obviously had.
But you didn't have a racing car. You had to come back from Barnsley workshop to here every night. Is that right? Do you live here?
Every day, yeah. Cycle.
Every day.
Cycle, yeah.
You cycle, as I say, you came on a cycle.
Yeah.
And what age were you at that sort of time? Were you?
And
what sort of age were you then?
Well, this is a game where I had considered since that I had a slight advantage, because I didn't leave school. I left Rowlands Castle when that went back to London, and then went for the next, I think it was about 18 months, to Cowplain Senior School. I personally wanted to go to, would have liked to have gone to Portsmouth Technical College, but there wasn't any vacancies. It was full up, so the next best thing that the Hampshire education system found from being one or two others was that set up a almost a, quite a special class, but almost at Cowplain Secondary School.
At the yes, okay.
Boys' school, that
one. Yes, yes.
But the advantage of, for me, I think, I was 16 when I went to, just past 16 when I first went to Barnsley's, whereas Roy had started at 14.
Right.
And also, Roy was much shorter than I was, and the pupils, the younger pupils, had acquired this habit of when they wanted a lift or anything or help, say hold the end of a cramp or some such cramp, they wouldn't call. And this is, I'd observed this in the first 3 weeks I was there before Roy left. They'd pick up a little handy bit of wood and throw it at him to draw his attention. And when he looked up, he'd say, come on boy, we're waiting. That sort of attitude, you see.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, when
I mean,
you never get this today in any form of employment, as far as I know.
I don't think so.
And the problem that I thought Roy had was, you see, that when it came, they came to start to treat me like that. The foreman took me down in.
Who was the foreman, by the way?
Bert Upton.
Oh, Bert, of course, yes.
When they did have a little stable at one time, presumably, but it was in mainly used as an Apple store. And he said to me, "You come down to a stable and I'll put you wise to what the situation is here," more or less. And his words to me were, "When one of your pupils asks you to do something for help, my advice is to you that he was very much a father sort of figure in a way. He had two boys of his own anyway. He said, I advise you to help them." Well, my reply, being a bit older and a bit larger than Roy, I said, "Certainly." I said, "Anything to do with work, because I'm here to do an apprenticeship, and the biggest part of that apprenticeship at this moment in time is to learn."
That's right.
The trade.
And you stayed there till when, Roy?
And I said, "If anything they ask me to do associated with work, a job, I will do." And I said, because his part of his in telling me this was, "You've seen," he made the comment, "you've seen how they treat Roy."
Mm.
Well, my response to that was, being a bit older, and Rowland's Castle, Battersea boys,
yes,
weren't village boys,
yeah,
at that time. And I said, "I will help them, but if they ever treat me like they, I've seen them treat Roy," I said, "they'll find they're dealing with a very different individual." This Ronan's Castle was a rough school. It could be classified as a rough school. And when we first went there from the village, there were several from Eastmere and local villages around to make the numbers up.
Yeah.
And when you consider their frustration they must have been going through, to put on a train or a coach and brought from London to get away from the bombing, etc., during the war, and dumped with complete strangers whose fathers were mainly away fighting the war.
Right.
Whereas so they were landed with the mother of the family, as it were. And I said, "I've been to a rough school," I said, "where the customary practice was, you'd be playing around, and suddenly one of them would come along and try his hardest to knock your teeth down your throat, you know, smack you on the nose, etc." And to start with, we said, "What did you do that for?" You gave me a dirty look. Well, we soon overcame that by practicing some of their treatment.
Yeah.
And in the end, we got on okay together.
Neil, very interesting all that. If we come back to Eastmere again and your time after Barnsley, you must obviously have been in the village all that time, coming home, if you tell me, on a bicycle. But then how did you meet Lorna?
How, sir?
How did you meet Lorna?
How did we meet?
Yes.
Dancing class.
I actually wanted to learn to dance, ballroom dancing.
Yeah.
And one of the tradesmen, the craftsmen at Barnsley's, and his wife, he got married then by that time, went to Ella Webb's dancing school, which was every once a week, modern dancing, and he virtually persuaded me to go with them and learn to dance. And that's where we actually met.
This is the 1950s or 60s, 50s?
No, 1950. We got married in March 1957.
Yeah.
And it was probably 3 years prior to that.
Right.
And
and Lorna, you lived in the village, did you?
No, I lived in Petersfield.
Oh, you lived in Petersfield?
Right.
And that's
how
we actually met.
Because Leo's father died just before we got married, didn't he?
Because originally there was many girls, if not a few more.
Yeah, but we'd finished
with the dancing
classes.
There was boys, wasn't there,
right?
Ellis? And she also was then starting her nursing training and then went back to Heathside where she started her nursing.
That was in Petersfield, Heathside.
In Petersfield,
yeah.
And one of the sisters there was this Castle George's wife. And that's how we sort of
got to know
met,
yeah,
as it were. But I never forget, always remember that when I first saw her, she was very tall and slim then.
Still is.
Still is.
I appreciate good looking women.
What she had was a very short haircut. Her hair was cut.
Never that.
Was very short, almost as short as a man.
No, it wasn't.
And when I first saw her, I thought, why doesn't she let her hair grow a bit? Because what it had done, the short haircut had given her a very long neck. And then one evening...
But this isn't what Dennis wants, Leo.
Hmm?
He wants to hear about his me and not about my neck. Really.
No, but you were living in the house here with Lorna,
yeah.
Or did you?
I was living here then.
With his parents.
And you got married into here, did you?
Yes.
All right. And you've been here ever since?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, we lived this end, and Leo's mother and Doris in those days. Did you know, you must remember Doris?
No. To be honest, no.
No.
I came into the village.
She was always very, she was quite frail.
Yeah. She
very
lived in
asthma.
That end, did she?
They lived that end, yeah.
Well, she was still single then, yeah.
No, Doris.
No,
Doris never married.
Single.
Beryl married.
She married, yes. But
yeah.
At the time that Dennis talking about, she was still single and living here as one of the daughters of the family.
No, we've moved on to when we got married and Beryl was married by then.
Yeah, she was.
He's trying to move into...
Yes, you're right.
And between the two of you, you had three girls, did you not?
Yes.
And they all have gone in for nursing.
Yes.
And you are now here in the house. Tell me a little bit more about what you did after Barnsley. You obviously fell out from Barnsley, and I even can recall you going off to a school somewhere down in the Fareham area, was that right?
Sorry, Gary.
In the Fareham area. Did you not go to a school? You worked in a school in the Fareham area?
No.
No, well, I obviously had that one wrong.
That was a, would have been at Westbury.
Oh, you worked at Westbury?
Oh, we worked at Westbury, yeah.
But it was only part-time.
Evening classes, rather.
That came about by Mrs. Manners.
Jane Manners, yes.
Saying to Lorna that they had this workshop there. And
in the basement, was it not?
Was the stables at one time.
Oh, I know that one, yes.
And somehow or other it came up between Mrs. Manners and Lorna, and I think she mentioned that they could do with some wood to work on. I was in a joinery works and the owner, you see, said, oh, Leo can get you some, bring you some wood home. It'll be what they'll bring. He's using as, well, they're cutting up odd off cuts for anyone that wants them for firewood. So I then started, and Mrs. Manners replied to me, giving them a bag of what would have been classed as firewood, was it would be much nicer if they also had, in a way, my services to give them some help.
Yeah.
And that's how I came to go there, 2 evenings a week.
But I thought you worked down in the firm, but then did you not work at a firm down in Southbourne along between Chichester and Portsmouth?
No.
I worked at the joinery works.
Yes.
There.
Where at? What was it called?
From Bounsley's, I went to Portner's. At a time when Bounsley and I were having quite a serious argument between each other, because we had started to have a family then, and I wanted slightly more money, and was asked then to ask him if there was any possibility of me having a rise, and he promised that he would look at the books over the weekend and tell me on the Monday. Well, that Monday turned up, materialised then, 6 weeks later. And when I approached him again, well, I was approaching him every week, and it was, the excuse I got was he hadn't had time to look at the books. And then he made a comment which I did take exception to, was that why was I always trying to make trouble? And I said, but my answer to that one, I'm not making trouble. I'm purely asking a possibility of me having a rise. And the answer to that one question was, I don't know why, because you're only a working man. And but that was his general attitude, you see. And my reply to that was, you probably have the same attitude in one respect as I have, inasmuch that your wife does your shopping, my wife does my shopping. Now, if you asked me the price of a loaf of bread, I would have to think very hard. In fact, I doubt if I could tell you. And I would assume that your wife would have the same argument. I said, and that's why I want to rise, if possible. So I said, as regards to me being a troublemaker, I said, the others, particularly the younger ones, won't ask you. I will. I said, now what you've done in the past, when I've come and asked for a rise, I said, you've given me one. But you've also given every other employee one. I said, no, this time, give me one, and not them. I said, then you will see, or hear, or find out who the troublemakers actually are. I said, because where I have the courage to come and ask you, they're too frightened to.
Yeah.
And then it went from there, really.
He made you an offer, and you didn't accept it, probably.
And see, it worked out just well. We used to have Portsmouth Evening News then, and on a Friday. And I was looking through it this Friday, and in there was two adverts. One was for a chap at Orndean, his own little business, small business, Charmley lawnmowers, cylinder lawnmowers, and the other one was from advertising for joiners, bench joiners. So I took my fortune wheel in one way. My mower wanted to grind and he grind it. I took it down there because he, in his advert, he said, well, you do it while you wait. I went on a Saturday morning and I, you know, you're advertising lawnmower, sharpening.
This has nothing to do with East Meehan.
It's part of me. We're not just talking about East Meehan as a village, we're talking about what's made East Meehan.
What made the people in East Meehan?
Yes.
We're going to come on to Janet in a moment.
Yes. Then you'll hear more about her relations, her ancestors, and possibly a lot more than you'll hear about Janet herself. Possibly.
Anyhow, just continue about you left Barnes there, and you went down and you worked at this joinery firm.
And I went to Fort, eventually found Faulkner's at Waterloo Mill. And went, there were some chaps working there, and I walked in there and I said, you know, is this a firm that's advertising for bench joiner? And they said, yeah. And I said, who do I see? They said, oh, the manager, he's up in that office, which was set up above the, well above the shop.
Always down so you could look down and see what people were doing.
You could look round and see anyone messing about or not working. And he had a relay system there and just, John, you're not being paid for that sort of thing. You know, anyway, I went out there, saw him, and I explained to him that I was actually a furniture maker, cabinet maker, not, I trained as not as a joiner. He said, you'll soon get to know, pick it up, it's all woodwork. When do you want to start? So I thought, I should give my employer, current employer, I said, a reasonable notice. So, and I'd say that was possibly a week or notice. So I went back to his, well, here's my phone number, or the firm's phone number. Give me a ring the day, 2 days before you actually want to start, which will give me time to get a bench ready for you to work on.
Yeah.
And I'll select someone that can help you, in a sense, or make you aware of air system.
Yeah.
And that's what happened in the end.
Okay.
And when I went to give my notice in to Barnsley, he sort of hit the ceiling and said that he would have assumed that after being there in total of 16 years, I could have given him at least a month's notice.
Yeah. 16, so you were then 32, 33, something like that.
Yeah, right about, just turned 30.
And by then you'd had 3 children, is that right?
Yeah, we had Wendy after, didn't we?
After. I couldn't tell you the years they were born.
Anyway. My reply to Barnsley then was that I would have also expected that after 16 years working there, I could have been given a simple answer to what
question,
to me
yeah.
was a very simple
yeah.
question.
Yeah.
And then he really hit the roof and said, Thursday is our finishing day, so as Mrs. Barnsley always used to do the wages up and most of the clerical work on the firm side,
yeah.
work side. And he said, you can leave Thursday, this Thursday. I said, fine. I said, in fact, that's a good idea, I said, because that gives me another day in which to prepare myself and what tools I need to get to my new job.
You had your own tools with you, did you? Or did you?
Pardon?
Did you have your own tools with you?
Oh, yes, yeah.
You would brought that round.
There were some things, you see, that he was very, quite good at, really, because after I'd been there, I think it was about two and a half years, he brought in a scheme whereby, because it was still under stress for getting tools, because we hadn't really got over, as a country, we hadn't really got over the war.
Yeah.
And so he then allowed us, I think it was 5 shillings a month or something like that, to actually buy and purchase our own tools.
Yeah.
And in some cases, where he was going to have this spare job, time job, at Loughborough Training College,
yeah.
Teacher Training College.
Now, you tell me, you obviously worked away from the village sometimes. You've got to know a young lady who was sitting all close to me here.
Waiting for her turn.
Waiting for her turn. Janet Fairbank. I've known Janet for many, many years. You have.
Oh, you must have had Willie's lardy cakes.
But do tell. Real lardy cakes.
They right. Really deserve a mention.
Janet, you married Will.
Yeah.
Fairbanks. When was this?
1956.
1956. He was not English, he was...
Austrian.
Austrian. Mm-hmm. And he was a baker by trade,
yes,
am I right?
Yeah.
And how did you meet him and how did he come to the village here?
It's a big story. Well, I was brought up in the village.
Yes.
About 16, 17, 18, I sort of noticed Willie. He was married.
Oh, he was married here, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Beforehand.
Yeah. But she left. Nothing to do with Willie. Is that right saying this all this? Hey?
Do what?
Is it all right saying?
Yes, yeah. Yes, fine. You can always knock it out if necessary.
Yeah. Anyway, and I always liked Willie. From the word go.
Yeah.
There were big troubles in the family about me.
Where did you live at that stage?
I lived at down at the cross, under the churchyard.
Oh yeah, yes.
Three Church Road,
yes. Yeah. Right
along. In the cottages.
Yes, yes, yes.
The bean cottages.
And is that where your mother and father owned it?
No, I lost my father at 9 years old,
yes.
1943.
I didn't realise you were that young.
Yeah.
1943, was it in the war?
Pardon?
Was it in the war that you lost him?
No, he worked at the rubber factory. He didn't have to go to war because they were doing war.
Manufacturing, there. TP.
Pardon?
TP, the rubber factory.
That's right. And he was coming home one night, January the 14th, and there were some girls in the road dancing about. One put her arm out, not my father. Pun?
But Strood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The red house.
Yes.
Not my father flying off the motorbike and killed him.
Oh my God, that was
wonderful.
But tell me, how did you meet Leal and Lorna?
Well, I've known them all my life, being up here.
Yes.
But we met through Dorothy Richards, didn't we?
Oh yes, I was just trying to.
Yeah, yeah. And
Dorothy Richards, who went on to marry.
No,
you've got the wrong one. If I go any butt in,
all right. Which one have I got? I'm thinking.
Yeah, Dorothy. She had Ivy and All of their lovely blonde sisters, they were. The four of them, weren't they?
I'm thinking of the Mrs. Richards who married Carolyn, the Patrick man.
Oh, no.
It's not Dorothy Richards.
No, nothing to do with those. Okay. No. Years ago, when me and my sister were about 4, 5, 6, I might have been, my mother developed TB and she had to go away to a sanatorium.
Yeah.
And she had nowhere to put us kids. Granddad was there, but he couldn't look after us. Nobody wanted to take us in, no family, nothing. And it started to come to where it was at the time of Dr. Clifford.
Dear old Doc Cliff.
Yeah.
Peg leg.
Yeah.
With
the
ginger.
Yeah. Cardiff
Nation.
And he said, have you got anywhere to put the kids yet? And my mother said no. So he said, well, they'll have to go into a home or somewhere for the time being. Anyway, my mum met Mrs. Richards in the road and she said, have you got anywhere for those kids yet? Because her husband was in the war. And my mum said no. She said, I'll take him. Wow. So Mrs. Richards, at the goodness of her heart, took me and my sister for 18 months, all during the war. And
That was a big ask, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a big ask, yeah. And my dad continued to work at the rubber factory.
Yeah.
And she took us in for 18 months.
Right.
Yeah.
How did you meet Lille?
Well, I've always known them, but not socially. And then Lorna was looking after Mrs. Richards one day.
I didn't know
who
I came to look after.
Her carer went away, didn't she? And you went up to do her eye drops and that.
And her stockings and everything.
Yeah.
Yes, I did.
And then we used to have a cup of tea. And then you said to me, why don't I bring Mrs. Richards up here for a cup of tea?
Yeah.
Which we did. Because I've always looked out for Mrs. Richards ever since she brought me up.
Yeah.
She always comes to me for Christmas.
Even now?
No, she's died. Oh, she died. But she still gets a Christmas wreath from me.
And we just sort of got to know each other, really.
Yeah, and that's how we got to know each other. And at the time, yeah, and then during that time, Willie was ill, wasn't he?
Mm.
But my husband was ill and he was going to die.
And this is in the 1950s?
Oh no, 1970s. I was married to him about 50 years.
50 years?
Something like that. Yeah, I got married in 1956 and he died in 2000. How long is that?
Long time.
44
years. Mm. Am I right?
And I met him in the village. He had trouble with his first wife.
And he was
living in where I am living now.
Yeah. And he used to walk up the street to beside the house.
That's right, the bakery.
The bakery.
Yeah.
And all the bakeries was done there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he was a village baker, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, for years.
For years.
I don't quite know how many.
Yeah, we used to have bread from here.
Yeah. And then soon as I was 21, I married him.
That's right. 21. Because
it was Mrs. What was her name? She went to Australia, wasn't it?
Daphne Abrahams.
No. The woman that Lorna replaced it in, Mrs. Richards.
Oh, yeah.
All I ever did was her eye drops.
Yeah, her eye drops and that. Who used to look after her.
She'd obviously gone away and she asked if I used to cook her meal. I used to take her meals up.
Mm. Oh, she loved it when you went up there.
When I'd go up there and she'd be, I'd hear, go and tap at the door and she'd be in there singing.
Yeah. But, I mean, it was a big thing in the war. No money, nothing. That she took us two kids in.
No, she
I mean, not many people would do that, would they?
No.
I'm going to stop it now, just a moment. Oops, I'm wrong.